Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree. Stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, here at Rosie on the House. That means it's the outdoor living hour, second Saturday of the month. So we are talking trees. And if you're following along in your Rosie on the House home maintenance calendar, you're expecting to hear about plant health care, which you will. But you may also be looking forward to the tree of the month, the Palo Blanco, which it is not today. And we've got John Eisenhower of Save a Tree joining us in studio, along with several guests, Peter Condon, the director of Landscape Horticulture at the Mesa Community College, and Steve Preby, horticulturist and arborist. And we switched the calendar, and what was supposed to be featured next month is this month, because this tree is in bloom at the Mesa Community College in the Rose Garden, and this is a great time to go by and get a great visual. Something we've been talking about, John, for a couple months is having a list of where can people go see the tree of the month in a public setting.
We did. Yeah, we swapped them up because we wanted this tree, we wanted to cover this tree as a tree of the month when it was in its full glory, and it's on fire right now. It's really, really nice. We went by there on Tuesday, checked it out, and it's beautiful.
And so what tree is this?
Well, it's a Tabebuia impetiginosa. It's actually the, I have the privilege of inviting guests in. Peter and Steve are here today. By the way, Steve Preeb.
What did I say?
Is it Preeby?
Preeby.
Preeby's fine.
It's got an E on the end there. It's tricky.
No, the E's silent on the end.
Well, speaking of Preeb, you know, Steve, is that he is my designated hitter today. You know, in baseball, you got a designated hitter, the guy in the dugout who can come out in the ninth inning and hit it over the wall. Steve's my DH today. Regarding this tree, because he started going through this stuff. He was with us on campus at MCC. I turned to Gary Peterson, the branch manager at Save a Tree, and I said, "Don't worry, they're talking over my head too." Because you know, he and Peter are just going back and forth with all the Latin derivatives. And anyway, what happened to Tabebuia? That's such a beautiful name, but now that's the genus Tabebuia impetiginosa is no longer Tabebuia impetiginosa. Just give us a little bit, 15 seconds.
Okay. Well, first of all, it hasn't happened just to Tabebuia. It's something that's going on with the ability to look at DNA and more readily available to do that on all plants, and so they're all being reclassified. Wow. And so they've decided that the Tabebuia is now the genus Handroanthus impetiginosus. So that's just one of them, and this is going on, like I said, throughout the entire plant mix that we have out there.
And just when us arborists and us horticulturists can master some of these names, then all of a sudden they get a whole other classification, a whole other genus.
I'm just trying to play Wordle and focus on five-letter words.
I know. Thank you for the little bit of background. It's a hassle, too, because you guys have the Arboretum at MCC. Mm-hmm. You've just spent quite a bit of money putting those little name tags on all the trees. You got to go back through them again. And
that is a hassle.
All
but
because
imagine
these geneticists, you know, go and figure out some little fine little difference between these species, genus.
And it's really challenging when you have a book like this Landscape Plants book that I'm sure has been plugged here many times before. And when there get to be so many names, then we try to go through and update those as well. So it is a challenge.
Well, that's cool. Speaking of that book, I see that. Do you want to mention of that? Because it's such a great website.
It used to be just a hard copy book called Landscape Plants for the Arizona Desert, and it has several hundred plants in it that are very commonly used in the landscape here.
Trees, shrubs.
Trees, shrubs, ground covers, vines, accent plants, annuals, perennials. All of these plants were on the low water using plant list originally, and that's how they came to be in this document.
And where can you find them online?
I'm not sure.
It's AMWA. I knew the answer before I asked.
Oh, good.
It's AMWA.org, AMWA.org, and just go to Landscape Plants and you'll find that book. The whole thing is now on digital. Beautiful color photos. If you're looking for, you know, a resource to put some trees or shrubs or ground cover in your yard, this is a great resource. Gives you all the characteristics, the bloom cycle, the bloom color, and then, of course, a bunch of beautiful color photos. And so amwua.org gets you there.
And, you know, I'm a little lazier than you, perhaps. And I just Google low water use plant list, and then I find it on in the Google list.
And that is a great book. I keep it at home as we're planning all of our landscaping. That's the first place I reference is that book.
Yeah, and it's free from your local water conservation department, no matter.
And a lot of the city, municipalities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could tell you were a devotee when I was in the back seat of your car the other day, and I saw in the little pocket behind both of your seats in your car a bunch of these booklets.
And we have a direct link to that book up on the archive page today at rosieonthehouse.com in today's radio broadcast, so it's a quick one link as well. And one of the reasons we have Peter Condon in it is because you take care of a couple of these trees.
We do have several tabebuia. Hadrianthus is not as fun to say. Tabebuia, that's much more fun to say. We've got three in the rose garden. They're just coming into full bloom right now, and as the weather warms up, the flowers are going to open more. But the beauty of this tree is that many of us are transplants from other parts of the country, from the north and the east, and we're used to pink flowering trees. There are very few pink flowering trees, true trees, in the Phoenix area. So the pink trumpet tree, that is a true pink flowering tree. They're called precocious trees. They flower before the leaves. So there's no leaves that get in the way. All you see is just a pink explosion, and it's just fantastic. The three trees that we have in the rose garden, interestingly enough, last year, two of them bloomed without the leaves, and then one of them kept its leaves because that was more protected. So I think they might hold their leaves if it's a little bit warmer in that spot, and if we didn't get a good freeze last year.
Well, I'm pretty impressed with the size of these, too. You know, I've seen a few of these around town, and they're usually, you know, between 5 and 10 years old. You know, those ones in the garden there, in the rose garden, are amazing. They're just tall and huge, and it's... If you're in the East Valley area and you want to swing by the Mesa Community College, now's your time. Sometime this week, you know, just make it an outing. It's well worth going by. What you're saying about the middle of April, you've got the roses will all be in bloom as well. But
probably the middle of April. We've got the largest rose garden in the southwestern United States on the MCC campus. And by the way, the MCC campus now is an official Arboretum.
Congratulations.
So awesome. You can go to our website with another great resource, mesacc.edu/arboretum, and you get a whole map of the campus with little green dots. You click on the dots, and those are the trees, and information pops up for each tree.
And there's a couple ways that works. I'm playing with it now. You could also hit the drop-down menu and select which plant or tree you're looking for, and then only those will stay highlighted. Mm-hmm. So I've got the pink trumpet tree, and I've got three little dots, and it looks like they're against southern, halfway between Dobson and Longmore.
Yes.
So, and then I also see this thing that says East Parking Lot. Would that be the best place to come park and go walk over the Arboretum and look at them in the Rose Garden?
If you get there in a weekend, you can park anywhere. Don't worry about the employee parking spaces. So there are parking spaces right along the road that parallels Southern, which is right next to the Rose Garden, the best place to park.
And I can stop in any time of day and just browse through?
The campus is always open. There are no fences and no gates and no admission fee.
Wonderful.
You don't even have to take my class.
And so,
which we'll talk about shortly.
And a lot of the things we're going to be talking about is the right tree in the right place. If somebody was interested in this type of color and having a pink trumpet tree, a tabebuia. What kind of space do I need for a tabebuia? What kind of water do I need? How tall am I expecting this to grow?
It's considered a small to medium tree. So in Arizona, they might get 30 feet tall. In its native environment in Brazil, they can get to be 100, but that's the perfect environment. Warm temperatures, loads of rain. It could also be considered not quite a patio tree, but it can fit in a small space. I just planted one in the corner of my backyard, so I've got about 15 feet on either side of it so that it can grow uninterrupted without having to prune it to maintain the shape, which is not the thing to do when you plant a tree.
Yeah.
So,
good call.
It does need a little bit more water. It's not considered a drought-tolerant tree. So in the rose garden, it's flood-irrigated there, and in my backyard, I just have a hose, and whenever I remember to water it, I water it. But it's doing pretty good.
And It's not a low water use tree, but what is it compared to? Is it as thirsty as a pecan? Maybe about a citrus? What?
It's not as thirsty as a citrus tree for sure. But pecans, I don't have any pecans. Steve can attest to the pecan thirstiness.
I would say they're on par. Yeah, I would say they're pretty close to each other. Pecan, ash, those kinds of trees, it's on par with those in terms mm-hmm. of water requirement.
If you don't water it frequently, or if you don't, not frequently, but if you don't water it correctly, which means infrequent but deep irrigations, the tips of the leaves will turn brown, like on my tree in my backyard that I water with a hose whenever I think of it. So I can attest to the fact that the tips will turn brown if you don't water it properly.
And you're talking about the blooms coming out before the leaves, so I'm assuming this is deciduous. It's going to drop everything in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. It is deciduous. It should start dropping its leaves as soon as the temperatures drop, probably high 30s. It should just start to drop its leaves.
Well, we've got a full host of experts in today. John Eisenhower of Save a Tree, Peter Condon, Director of Landscape Horticultural at Mesa Community College, Steve Preeb, horticulturist and arborist. And I'm sorry I got your name wrong in the beginning. You've only been on 20 times. It usually takes 21 before I get the name absolutely perfect.
Okay. Don't worry about it.
Well, welcome back. And we are talking trees here at Rosie on the House as we do the second Saturday of every month. And our Tree of the Month, we switched it with April because our pink trumpet.
Tababuya.
Our Tababuya is in bloom right now. There's one on the Mesa Community College campus you can go see. But we're also going to be talking about plant health care as part of our weekly to-do here at Rosie on the House, along with other March tree checklists like irrigation timers, for insects, and then more on the right tree in the right place for long-term success.